Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right, everybody, welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Glad to be back on here every Thursday night. Man, it never gets old, I swear, getting on here and talking about women's football mainly and things that everybody's got going on. And, you know, for most women's teams, some of them, I guess, have done started practicing, but for most of the teams that I've heard of, this Saturday's when practice kicks off. You know, I know the Thunder having their first practice this Saturday. I know the Detroit Brow, they got a big combine going on up there this Saturday. Should be a really good event. Wish I lived closer and we didn't have practice, I'd go. They said it's going to be ran just like NFL combine, and I have no doubts that it won't be. That guy and his staff, Michael and their whole staff do a great job, I guarantee it. You know, it's a privilege to play sports, you know, and it's a privilege to be a part of the best team sport there is, and that being football. And, you know, playing as a kid all through the years, you have all kinds of injuries and first one thing another. And I say it on here week after week, you know, how fortunate you are to play like it might be last. Well, what about if you were watching the game on Monday night with the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals and this defensive back coming up and making this hit. I still don't believe it was football related, but nevertheless, DeMar, I think is his name, you know, had a cardiac arrest, heart attack, however you want to say it. And you know what? Like I said before, and especially after I went through the stuff I went through, it's unknown, people. We just don't know every time we walk out that door when it might be the last. And if you're playing sports and you're not giving it all, you're cheating yourself. And, you know, that just goes to show those guys are the best athletes in the world. And it proves that anything can happen at any time. I do know I don't know for a fact. I've heard that he's coming out of the coma, getting better, and that's really great. I'm happy for him. You know, I hate to see that happen to anybody, you know, and it can happen to anybody. You know, one thing I will say, and I know I'm probably beating a dead horse, but, you know, I told my friend Terry Young that's helped me and Jennifer so much through the surgery and things that I've had and just been not just financially and just doing anything and everything to help us out, but, you know, as an inspiration, man. He'd call me every day, you know, when things didn't look good, call me, giving me these special talks, and he knew I was struggling. But, you know, I told him the other day, we went and watched the Alabama game and Tennessee game and stuff with him, and I told him, I said, you know what's unfortunate? And I said that people don't care unless you're dying or you're about to die. Now, when I say that, the reason I'm saying it is this guy, DeMar, I heard them talking about him, what a great guy he was. He was raised in Western Pennsylvania, stayed home to play football at Pitt so he could help his mom raise his brother, which was a toddler, and he could be there. Set up this fund, this charity fund, long before he ever got famous and all that. From everything I heard, the guy's a great guy. Everything under sun, he was doing all this before he made it big. But my point is, before he has this accident, or however you want to call it, you know, misfortune, his charity fund's less than $1 million. And the dude's laying in the hospital up there, maybe about to die, and all of a sudden people just go start pouring money in there, and it's well over $3 million. And I'm glad they did. I don't say nothing about the charity. My thing is, why do we have to wait till somebody's about dead or they are dead? That's my whole point. You know, you they're still there, whether, you know, in real life, you know, had he not had that unfortunate accident, that fund wouldn't grow to where it was because nobody even knew about it. So, you know, anyway, that's my little rant for tonight, I guess, or at least for now. I do want to say, reach out to my buddy, Paul Nathal. He had a mild heart attack, and he's recovering good from it. Doing real well. Proud to hear that. Love going against Paul. We've had some real good battles over the years. He's a good defense coordinator, and he checked on me quite often while I was under the weather, and so glad to hear that he's doing a lot better. I believe he's joined a new team this year. I don't know what the name of it is, but he's joined a new team. They're playing in the WFA, so. My hat's off to Paul. I'm glad you're getting better, buddy. You know, as I think about this football and in general and how, you know, what a process it is, you know, when this practice is getting ready to start, you know, and you transfer from one year to the next, you know, and you take all the, like, we'll use, for instance, like the, New England Patriots. They've won 6, I guess, Super Bowls, maybe more, I'm not sure. But all those players, there's probably only one or two that's got all those rings. So each team, that organization's winning. But each team, you know, each year in football, that's what I've realized. Now, I can't say around these bigger teams or whatnot, but I can tell you this, that since me and Jennifer started the Thunder in 2015, that there's been a different roster every single, I mean, there's been a few on there from year to year, but every year it's been a different roster. And you know what, man, that's hard to do. And when you think about it, and you think about New England winning all those games and those guys, some of them only got 2 or 3 rings, and the rest of them just got maybe 1 apiece. I know Tom's got 6, and Bill's got 6, or whatever they got, and that's, you know, that's the recipe, but still takes a lot of players filling in. So when you start winning, and winning big, and winning often, with different rosters every single year, you know what kind of process, man, that is? You know what kind of, what it says for an organization and their coaches and the GMs and all this, the players they're going out and get that fit in their system. You know, I know one year, I guess last year they won the Super Bowl. They cut, yeah, I guess they cut him. It was a middle linebacker. He was a Pro Bowler. He was out there not doing assignment. He was freelancing on his own. They cut him. Everybody's going like, what are you doing? We're out, you know, you're out in the middle of a playoff run. They cut him going to win the Super Bowl. Man, not many people would do that. And I know New England's down right now. They're taking it on the chin. They're doing all kinds of stuff that's uncharacteristic for a Bill Belichick team. And it's unfortunate for them. I know nobody's feeling sorry for them. First one is my wife, and she can't stand them. So she's loving it. But, you know, it, when you – make those statements of how great he's been, and you know you give him so much credit for all the on the field stuff they did over the years to win that many Super Bowls, and now all of a sudden, right, well, I think they're 8-8 right now, and they got to play Buffalo this week to get in. You know, Buffalo might be the best team in the NFL. Certainly got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, that bonehead play might have cost them the playoffs. Now, I mean, I know it might be a one and out, but listen, you get the playoffs, anything can happen. especially in that league. So, but you know, it's a process, man. It takes every year. You know, it's like this year, and we're going to talk to Becky Founders here in a little bit, owner, player, slash player from the Tennessee Thunder, and of course, me and her have a lot of conversations, me being the coach and all, but, you know, I think we're going to have about 18, maybe 19 show up at practice, and half of them is going to be brand new. You know, just think of it. Half is going to be brand new. Every single year we start with just as many first-year players. I hate to call them rookies, but first-year players as you do what you would call veteran players. And I don't even like to call a player that's played 1 year a veteran. And so, you know, we're probably going to have, when you look at those 18 or 19, you're probably going to have five that truly are veterans that's probably played more than 3 years. Then you're going to have four or five that played a year. Then you're going to have that have never played. You know, that's just amazing that, you know, what kind of work you have to put into each year to be successful and to win football games, you know, and it's tough. I'm not even going to lie to you. You know, another one of our team owners in the USWFL, we'd talked a long time ago about players, and she had this amount of players, and, you know, and now they're losing them left and right because people tell you anything. You know, it's what you get at practice on a regular basis. That's how many players you have. And, you know, to count all these players just because they show up at a workout or say, oh, I'm going to play. Listen, we've had, I don't know, three or four workouts. First one I wasn't even at, still in the hospital, but they had like, I don't know, eight or nine girls show up. And out of those eight or nine, we've got one that stayed and played. Then we had another tryout, and there was no new girls showed up. Then the third tryout, I was actually at the third tryout. We had, I think four maybe new girls show up, five at the most. All of them said they're going to play. They've actually showed up the last tryout. And then we had two show up the last time. So I'd say over all the players that we've had show up at a tryout, only half are going to stay in play. You know, that's a misleading thing when they lead you, you know, into that, getting you all excited, man, I'm going to play, you know, and here you are counting, hey, I'm going to have me all these players, and you got big ideas, and you take like the Thunder, you've never played with more than, played one game with more than 21 times. Every year we finish with about 17 or 18. And every year you're thinking, man, I'm going to have this many players. I got big ideas. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Here you show up to first practice. Boy, do you get fooled real quick. And there you are left with a bunch of girls that most of them never played sports. And most of them don't really know what football is. And you got to make football players out of them. Not only that, you got about 3 months before you're going to go play your first football game. You don't think that ain't tough? I'm sure there's a lot of other things that have to do the same. But I'm telling you, every single year, it gets tough. And I know it's tough for those NFL guys. But listen, they do get to pick their players. I mean, they get these drafts, and they get to go out there and pick these free agents, and they can get off players off the other team's practice squad. It ain't like us just, hey, can you fit a jersey on? Well, you can play. You know, and I know for some of the big teams, it's not like that at all. I watch football, women's football as much as anybody, and I see the bigger teams, and they're dressing out 50, 60, 70, some of them, most of them around 40. You know, I see it. But you know what? When I ask some of these girls that play on those big teams, I've asked some of them before, you know, even had a coach on here from California before, and they were the number one seed in the West, and I asked him how many players he got. He was like, oh, I think we got 50, son. I said, you know, just for you know, just make conversation and see where, you know, as where we're going wrong or how, you know, what our ratio is to players making practice. And I said, hey, man, how many show up for practice on a regular basis? And he said, yeah, probably about 32. Well, you do the math on that, that's probably between 55 and 60%. So that's not too good. Now, 32 at practice, I've never seen that many at a practice, really. But, you know, that's a lot for me to see at practice. They wasn't even that many on my high school teams that I played on. But, you know, for us, you know, I know in 2019, arguably the best team the Thunder ever had, we started the year with 22 players. Two quit after the first game. One quit before the second game. We had 19 going into the second game. Two of them quit right after the second game, I believe. Anyway, we had 17 or 18, I don't know, for the year. And you know what? Here's the thing that made the Thunder really good back then is we got all but about one person was slacking on practice most of the time. Blaine Shed to work. You know how that goes if you've been a part of these teams. But we had pretty much everybody made practice on a regular basis. And you look at what percentage that is. And you start talking about 17 dedicated girls that are going to show up every day and battle one another, then you're going to have a pretty decent team. And the Thunder did. They had went undefeated, only allowed like 12 points, I think, 18 points all year. You know, and that included a playoff game and a championship game. So it's practice is huge for me, and you know, it always is, and I harp on it. Most people don't like it. Most people, you know, a lot of them don't play because of it, because they don't think it's important. I think it's the most important, you know. I'm always that person when people say, well, when's the game? And I'll say, I don't know, but here's when practices are. You know, you can't make practices, you sure ain't going to make the game. So it's tough, and you know, finding out, you know, of course, in this league, we have an Iron Woman division and a mid-major division. And the Iron Woman division used to be 22 players. And me and Mike talked about it and made it 25 this year and made the mid-major 26 and above. You know, I'd say the Iron Woman teams are going to be 20, around the 20 range below. I'd be surprised if anybody had over 22. And I'd say those mid-majors is going to be around the 25 to 30 range, somewhere around in that. But here's the thing for me, and the reason we have two divisions is because of this. If one or two of those two, we don't know. I mean, it may be three, all three of those teams. Listen, if you had 18 showing up practice, who knows what's going to happen after first practice. You know, you might scare half of them off. But teams that have 15 players, and you're traveling a long way, and you know the travel's not near as far for the Iron Woman teams. It is the bigger teams. They'll have, say they have 25 players. They'll probably travel with a good solid 20 or so every week. You know, if you got 15 players and that's all you got, you get one hurt down to 14. A couple of them can't work. You're traveling with 12 players. I remember when the me and Jennifer started this Thunder team in 2015. We went to Cincinnati with 13 players. We went to Knoxville and played a team with 12 players. I mean, it was tough. I mean, so, you know, you start playing, traveling and playing those bigger teams, and you don't have as many. It just, before long, you don't have any. So that's why we do it, and for the parity and try to, you know, make the games even. Now, like I said, there may be one team have way more players than others. I don't know yet. We just know what divisions they're in. Nobody's really said. I guess nobody ever really knows just exactly how many they got at this point. But, you know, I know it sure wouldn't hurt my feelings to have around 20 for a change, but I get tired of playing with the few every year, but that just seems to be the way around here, you know, especially when they started another team in East Tennessee after they sabotaged the Thunder. They go and start another team in East Tennessee, and not only is the Thunder the best team in East Tennessee, I believe they're the best team in Tennessee, winning team in Tennessee. So, you know, I'll just go ahead and put that out there. I don't care, you know, especially the other team up here, anytime they'd like to prove me wrong, they can just give me a call. We'll find out, settle it on the field. So that's where I'm at that, even though, you know, they sabotaged the Thunder and took a lot of the players, we still win and they don't. So you go figure that. We won a championship, make the playoffs. What's that say? You know, we're all about winning. We like to practice hard, you know. I told a girl today that called me that I hadn't got to come to try out, but said she wants to come and play. I said, I'll go ahead and tell you. They're going to tell you I'm an asshole. But I'll tell you what, I'm a winning asshole. So, you know, if that suits you, show up. If it don't, then don't. And she said, I like to win. I'll be there. So, you know what? We'll see. And that's the kind of players I want, people. I'll just tell you. You know, you got to be mentally and physically tough to play the game of football. I don't care if it's women, men, kids, boys, whatever. And every single team that I've seen, I watched every. Oh, I can say I watched every one. There was, let's see, three and six. There was three Tennessee championships in the high school division. And they were in the private school. And then there were six championship games in the public school. Now, I watched all three of the private school games and most of the other games. And I'm going to tell you something. Trent Dilfert was coaching one of the private school games. And he actually just left that academy and went to be the head coach at UAB. He had been there 4 years, and he had won two state championships. But I'm going to tell you something. Those players were mentally and physically tough. And you know what? I heard them talking about him. And of course, he played in the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. But he ran that thing just like an NFL team. I heard them say that, you know, when they played – you know, certain times during the week, he told the media that, you know, they could come a certain time. And he said, coach, they could interview the coach a certain time, but they couldn't come unless, you know, it's set up in those different time frames. So he was really strict on that. And, you know, that's what it takes. I'm telling you. There ain't no doubt about it. You're not mentally and physically tough. The game of football, I guess it might be for you in some places, but it for sure ain't around here. So, I guess let's see. I don't know what time it is here. Becky Pounder should be calling in about any time. We'll talk to her a little bit as soon as she gets called in. I just did get a message and said that this DeMar's charity is over $5 million right now. $5 million, folks. I mean, I'm happy for his charity. Don't get me wrong whatsoever. I'm tickled that you could raise that kind of money. Don't get me wrong at all. And this guy, I heard him talking about him on an early show where Nate Burleson was on there. And this guy was talking about, you know, he did all this stuff before he made bank. Well, I read that night they was putting up his, you know, when he got drafted and all. They said he got drafted in the sixth round, and he's a second-year player. So, I mean, for us, he's probably making a ton of money. But for those guys, I'd say he's not making a ton of money right now. The charity thing is good. It's just for me, it's unfortunate that it had to come this way, you know. You know, I can appreciate people donate to the charity or whatever it is for, you know, for him to help out his community and people along the way. I give my hats off to the guy for standing up for what he believes, staying home to help his single mom raise a kid. I was raised by a single mom. My hats off to the guy in every kind of way. I'd just like to think that people don't wait till you're laying there in a coma before they try to help out. But anyway, I think we got Becky on here. Let's see what Miss Pounders has to say tonight. How about it, Beck?
Hey, Coach.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Good. Well, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about this Thunder team that you know about.
Honestly, I'm not sure I could tell them anything that you probably haven't already said. About the team, that is, as far as myself, I am a small player that a lot of people don't expect a whole lot out of. And when it comes to a lot of things on the field, there may be a lot of things I can't do, but I try to do the best I can, and I kind of like to be the one to watch people when they ask what position I play. That's probably my favorite part of everything. And it's not because I'm the absolute best at it, but it's just the fact of the position I play and my size. And it's the fact that I've got a coach that knows how to coach me into playing that position. Because if it wasn't for you and Coach Mike and coaching me the way you do, I wouldn't get to play. There's a lot of positions on that field that I can't play, even though I am smaller, that I'm just not fast enough to play, or I don't have the hands to play. And so I would be riding the bench a lot. And if it wasn't for having a good coach that sees the potential on the field in the player, I'd be riding the bench, and I greatly appreciate that. But I think it's really exciting to know that, you know, getting on the field and being able to play a position that I wouldn't naturally be assumed to be able to play is probably the best part of what I do.
Right. Well, I hear that. I mean, I don't know, but I've heard that coach is an asshole, so. Them big words you're saying there, you know, so you better watch it.
I've been yelled at by my coach a time or two, but I've got, you know, somewhat thick skin, and you take into a lot of consideration the things that your coach says when you've got a good coach that's got a handful of big rings, and you want a big ring yourself. And I learned to do that, and this past season I got a ring or two myself, and when you learn to do that and not argue back and do what you're told, you start to appreciate that a lot more.
Well, you know what, and this is a true statement, if players knew best, they'd never be coached.
That's true.
I mean, even Michael Jordan had coached, you know what I mean? Even Tom Brady has coached, even Peyton Manning had coaches. Joe Montana. These guys are the best at what they do. They got coaches, and they got them. Not that the coaches necessarily know more than them. They just see things better than them, or they see things they can't see. So, you know, that's a true statement. Is coaches know, or they should know, you know, where you can use players and where you can't. You know, the biggest thing, you're going to get me on another rant here. The biggest thing that I hated about high school, middle school football, and a lot, they do it a lot in women's too, but is they put you in certain positions because of your size. And, you know, in today's world, you see a lot of dang running backs that are big as offensive linemen. But, you know, when I played, and I did play running back middle school, and then I broke my leg and got slower and gained weight, and then they I still run the ball. Then they put me on the line because I was bigger. I'd never played line a day in my life. I'd always played running back, middle linebacker. But because I was bigger, they put me on the defensive line and offensive line. I made a good offensive lineman and playing defense. I made a ton of tackles, but I didn't play the position like it was supposed to be played. I never had a sack in my career. Had a lot of tackles for losses. Had a lot of tackles, and they were just hustle tackles, make way down the field. I just never played D-line, and it just wasn't my forte. But because my size versus putting me somewhere where I could really shine, coaches I had back then, wouldn't let me play there. You know, and it's the same way with Jennifer. They wouldn't let it. When Jennifer played at the down there at the train in Chattanooga, they played her, of course, at mine, but played her at defensive end. And she was by far no defensive end. So, you know, a coach has got to figure out where he can utilize his – a good coach has got to figure out where he can utilize his players and get the most mileage out of every single one of them, every single game. And sometimes, you know, putting somebody in a position because they're bigger or smaller is just what it takes.
Well, you know, I signed up to do, you know, an all-star game. And I wasn't prepared. And even you told me, you know, you're going down there for the experience. You're not as experienced as the other players. You don't know as much about the game. And I didn't. But I wanted the experience, of the overall experience of going down and playing with the other players and seeing how everything worked. And that is something that I have said since I came home that I will never sign up to do again. And 100% the reason is my size will always put me on the bench in a game like that with coaches that don't know me. They will never put me in a position that I am familiar with. They will never put me on the field where I can be utilized the same as you and Coach Mike have. And even with me telling them, hey, this is what I'm familiar with, this is what I've done, they would pull in a bigger player that didn't know anything about the position and put them in that position because they were bigger. And I rode the bench.
Well, you know, Becky, a lot of times when you're smaller and like you say, you know, positions we tried you at for a year and something, basically, and you know, you couldn't do, and a lot of players are bigger, and they want them to play positions that they don't want to play, and you know, everybody wants to be a quarterback, running back, or receiver. You know, that's just the way it is. Nobody wants to be a lineman. No, I guarantee you, you go down through there, all the linemen, they want to play another position. I want to run them. I want to do this. I want to do that. The bottom line is, not everybody can be a quarterback. Not everybody can be a running back. Not everybody can be a receiver. So there has to be linemen. And, you know, over the years, we have played some undersized girls at line, you know, just because we didn't have enough or maybe because they were better, you know. But when you're undersized or you're oversized for certain positions, you know, you're at a disadvantage. You really are. And I'm going to want to toot our own horn, but, you know, it takes, you know, looking at stuff from a different perspective of, hey, you know, we got, and it's not just you. We've had players on the flip side of that as well. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we can't use this player here. We got to figure out where we can utilize, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what I've always did. It's, you know, thinking outside that box, doing, I say it all the time when people, you know, like, well, how do you win so much? The teams we beat over the years, and, you know, last year, the teams we played had way more talent than us, had way more speed than us, and we beat them. We won it all for the simple reason, not because we do stuff they can't do. We do stuff they won't do. You know, every single one of those teams had all this speed and all this stuff, and we made them play our game. We made them literally. We took the ball. I was asking Jim for the other day. I don't know in any game that we didn't start the game with taking the ball. And we took the ball, and whether we scored or not, and we didn't mostly because we didn't do much scoring, but we kept that ball, and we run a lot of clock off. And what happens is those teams get to thinking, hey, you know, we might want to throw it here, but we don't complete some passes, then we got to give it right back to them, and then our possessions are going to be shortened. So what do? They play right into your hands and sort of play the same style offense you play. And you know what? That's what we do. It ain't that we do stuff that people can't, people won't do. And I firmly believe that's why we've won over the years.
Yeah, you kind of force them into your game instead.
Yeah,
it makes
absolutely.
It more uncomfortable for them, and you can see it.
Yeah, you can really, and you know, well, you know what? Here's how I know that they like to play different style of ball, because when they play other teams and you watch film on them against other teams, they're throwing it everywhere, they're spreading it out everywhere, and they're playing teams that have athletes and speed. I mean, every team we played had way more speed than we had. When they play us, they don't do none of that stuff because those possessions become so important that they're afraid of making mistakes or not completing first downs or picking up first downs or completing passes and giving you the ball right back. So, you know, and it just transfers over into practice, you know. This week, of course, you know, I said it earlier, we got our first scheduled official practice on Saturday, and you know what? It's a different year, man. This is 2023. Whatever happened in 2022 has no bearing on 2023. You come in there Saturday, not just you, but every player comes in there Saturday, they're going to be fighting for a job, man. If they want to play, just being, oh, I led the team in tackles last year. Oh, well, you want to do it this year, you better, you know, you got to step up. It's a different year. Every position is up for grabs. You know, I know when I played, and even in the pros, college, I mean, you got to earn that position every week, you know. We don't get to practice like those guys, but you for sure are going to have to earn a position.
Right. And that's how it should be. You shouldn't be able to just walk on the field and assume that it's yours in any team.
Well, I think, you know, I think when you win and when, you know, you got, sometimes you don't have as many players over the years and, you know, some of these players have played a long time. I think they think, you know, they're obligated. And you know, there ain't nobody obligated as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if it's, you know, the best player on the team or the worst player on the team. Everybody's got the same shot, you know. And I can tell you this, you know, it's just 3 months till we play our first football game. And we ain't got time to be messing around with a bunch of people that, you know, don't want to work hard and, you know, don't want to prove that they can play. I mean, we do have some girls that are green as grass and don't know anything and are really going to struggle to get up to speed. Hopefully they will, you know, to maybe get on the field at some point. But, hey, man, who knows? They might take off with it and wind up getting a whole lot of playing. You know, it's all up to them. You know, it's not up to a coach, or it shouldn't be up to a coach as to who does all the playing and who does all the scoring. I know it ain't for me. I care less who makes all the tackles as long as we make them. You don't care who scores as long as we score. You know, and I think that gets overlooked a lot of times.
Right. I mean, I know we had, you know, literally, I know you were talking earlier about, you know, not wanting to call some of the newcomers rookies, but we really did have a rookie quarterback this year or last season, you know, and she made some big plays for us, you know, just by stepping in. She kind of got thrown into it and made a big play or two, you know, especially championship game.
Well, you think about it. I mean, we started out with a really good quarterback in Casey and probably the best quarterback in the league at that time. And then she, you know, tires her Achilles working out in rugby. And, you know, from there on, we started we started three different girls at quarterback, but we played five or six different people at quarterback, you know. And
yeah, we had half the team quarterbacking.
None of which had ever played quarterback. And you know, you hope that, you know, you can just take care of the ball and hope that, you know, players will make smart decisions. But I'm going to tell you something. And I never played quarterback, but I guarantee you, if you get back there playing quarterback, you don't think these NFL guys are really good, just get back there in a women's game and take a snap and try to figure out what you're going to do with everybody running at you here and there and everything speeding up fast. So, yeah, it's the most important position on the field. I'm not going to say it's the position. It's the most important because they have to know every single thing. And them in the center are the only two people that touch the ball every single play. So and when you got these new girls and they don't really understand the concept of the game yet, you know, and then you want them to come and play quarterback, and I mean, it's got to be simple. And you know, we managed to win four out of those games, four of the games that we had to start those different quarterbacks. So, you know, we lost one, we won three of them. I'm sorry, won three. We there was four of them when we lost one and won three. So we were really fortunate. And you know, like I said, it just goes back to where you win as a team. You know what I mean? It wasn't one player. We didn't put all the pressure on one player to make the better, you know. We tried to surround them with good people. We hoped that they'd just make good decisions and take care of the ball and do that. They just didn't have to do it all, is what I'm saying. And you know what? When you don't put people in a position like that, then you can get some production from them. And I think that's why, you know, we're successful. And you know what? This year, we're looking at, having, I don't know what Casey, how she's healing up or anything. Don't know what when she's going to be back, if she is. You know, we're looking at a new girl and Emily as the top two quarterbacks right now, you know. So we're still going to be really, really inexperienced whichever way we go there. You know, now a lot of the other positions we should have a little more experience at than the quarterback position. But hey, there ain't no doubt, football is tough. I mean, people that think that, you know, it's easy just to go out there and win football games, it ain't. And you know that yourself. I mean, you were part of the worst attitude of people on the team we've ever had on this team, and even part of the deal when I say they sabotaged the Thunder. And, you know, even though we did win three games and play in the championship, it's not easy to win football games.
I tell you, that was the biggest heartbreak there was, you know, losing there at the end and knowing, you know, that was my first year and putting so much into that, you know, I was new, I was fresh, I was trying to learn so much about it. I think I missed one practice. I had a family member pass away, and I missed one practice. But I had every extra workout, you know, every extra anything that I could make to learn more about the game and to improve my skills, I was there. And when we got down to the very end, knowing that it really could have all just been, like, taken away from us because of the decisions of, you know, other players being selfish, that was so heartbreaking to know that, you know, so many of us had put so much into the team and the game, and all it took was two being selfish, and we just about just, okay, you're done.
Yeah, well, really three, but yeah, that
was it. Three,
you know, it was three, but you know, it's really unfortunate that it comes down to that. But you know what, Becky, I do harp on it a lot, as y'all know, because it still makes me mad, especially when I hear anything about them around here. But you know what? It was turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to this Thunder organization that could have been. You know, at that time, it was rough, no doubt about it. It was rough. They took 75% of the players. You know, the Thunder team has to start from scratch. At that time, Jimmy Shore stepped in and picked up ownership of that team, and you know, he said, you know, just sort of give me the reins on it, said here it is, you know, go win a championship. And I ain't gonna lie to you, it was probably one of the toughest things I ever had to do, you know, and pick up. And you know, here we are, probably I wouldn't doubt we're probably deep in January and don't really know where we're gonna play. We're going to have enough to play, and we're working out in the gym just to keep a few girls working out. And we just kept, you know, beating the bushes and getting a few here and getting a few there. And you know, we fell in that league and you know, go on to win it, and the rest is history. But it was tough, you know, and for me, you know, nothing changed. I mean, other than I wasn't financially responsible, you know, it was Jimmy's like, hey, man, here you go. Go win a championship, you know. And after you just lose 75% of the players and you know, you talk about tough. It was, but I'm going to tell you, it absolutely was the best thing that ever happened to this Thunder organization.
I'm glad that things worked out the way they did. I really think that them leaving the team and having to rebuild, it was hard. And, you know, we all had a meeting about, you know, trying to rebuild and trying to regroup and, you know, to pull in more players and going out and recruiting players. And that is probably the hardest thing to do. I would say fundraising is the hardest thing to do, and sponsorships and stuff. But honestly, I really think recruiting is the hardest, because that is a full season commitment. And it's just a lot to ask, you know, for these women to commit to when they've got, you know, their jobs, their families, their kids, and all of these things that they feel responsible for them to take that time out and do something for themselves. And it is something that they will absolutely 100% enjoy if they will just make that commitment. So many people find it hard. So many women I know, and I know men do too, some anyway, but a lot of women, a lot of mothers and stuff, they find it hard to just give of themselves and say, okay, this one's for me. But to go out and do that recruiting and have to form a team, and I remember, you know, Jimmy was upset because we were talking about playing eights, and he really, really, really wanted us to play 11s. And we knew from the very beginning that that was going to be hard to do. And it was a good, in my opinion, a good decision, you know, to play eights, because there would not have been a way. There were certain games where we barely had enough to play the eights, that we struggled to have enough to play the eights.
Well, we ended up having enough to play 11s in the end, but you know, Becky, the thing about this is the best way to describe recruiting, and I'll just tell you, it's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. You get so excited when you know, you're pouring your phones, getting all these messages of people wanting to play. Man, you're excited. Hey, you're thinking finally going to get a bunch of players. And then all of a sudden the tryout comes, and guess what? Not a one of them show up. So you go from mm-hmm. the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And you know what, man? That as an owner of a team, as a coach of a team, in which I've been both at certain times, you talking about disheartening? I'm telling you, that is disheartening. Speaking of ownership, let's talk a little bit how you wound up in this role. I know that when you started playing, it was probably the last thing on your mind was to assume ownership of a football team. But let's talk a little bit about how this has transpired.
What happened was Jen had suckers in her hand, and she was handing them out that day, and I just happened to grab one. So I become the sucker. Jimmy done it, you know, for 22, and come, you know, the end of 22, it really did seem like, you know, Jimmy just didn't want to continue. Like he just kind of lost the love of it, and it wasn't the right thing for him anymore. And so everything just kind of seemed like it was just going to fall through. And so we just took the initiative and knew that, you know, it was going to probably need to switch hands. And, of course, you know, we waited until he said, okay, I'm out. And, of course, we had already been talking about, you know, what happens if he doesn't want it anymore. And I said, if it comes down to it, I will do it. And the reason is because I have come to absolutely love playing women's football. And even if I can't play it, I want to be a part of it. And I thoroughly enjoy, to the point that I am pushing my girls, you know, to want to play. You know, I'm trying to get them into playing it. And I think that it's something that I could see me doing for a long time and being involved in a long time. So I wanted to go ahead and step up now. That way we could start building with me in the ownership role so that, you know, I kind of get my feet wet while I'm learning from you and Jen, and kind of the ownership role of things. You and Jen have done a lot of great things with this team, and I don't want to be thrown to the wolves with no knowledge whatsoever. And for me, you know, learning from the best is the only way to be the best. And, you know, I'm really not trying to make your head so big you can't walk out the door when this call is over with, but you know, to make a business successful, you have to learn from someone who is successful. And so, that is my purpose.
So the next question is, are we going to be to learn all this in a year?
Probably not. But I am a fast learner, so I'm going to learn what I can. And I do know where you live.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know how it is. Hey, listen. I know. First of all, I'm glad that you did take ownership of it. You know, we have seven teams in the USWFL, and I don't know about the Michigan Queen. I don't know if he's got a co-owner that's a woman or not, but at least six of the teams are either owned by women or owned half by women. I'm not sure. I know Detroit's like two-thirds women. I know the South Carolina team, I believe, is all women. I believe I know the Huntsville team's all women. Cincinnati's all women. You got on the Thunder. And RBA, I believe that's a 50-50 split there. But, you know, this seems like that, you know, and I don't know what the exact word is, you know, but as far as owning a team, and I've owned a team before, me and Jennifer owned it, but there's certain things about it that women, as far as owning that team, seem to be more passionate about than men. Now, you know, when it comes to certain things, yeah, I probably was. You know, there was so much things that, you know, when me and Jennifer owned it, that, you know, she didn't like my ideas because she was more passionate about this than that. And, you know, it turned out she was right because it just seems that, you know, that women do a better job owning the majority of these teams. I'm not saying any man that owns a team ain't going to do a good job or be successful or none of that. But it just seems like, you know, that, you know how I am about stuff. And it's hard for, you know, when I'm coaching and then, you know, you're probably going to be more, more soft, I guess, when these players come to you as an owner than I am. You know what I mean? That's why they call me what they call me.
Yeah, I mean, I try to, and I guess that's kind of the role I have kind of stepped into is, you know, I try to be that listening ear as that I'm also a teammate. And I don't want them to see me more in the ownership role and bossy and things like that. But I do want to know, you know, what's going on and what's wrong with, you know, the mechanics of the team. But as far as, you know, being the hard person that's pushing us to do better, that's your job. You're the coach, and that's your job to push us to do that. It's my job to see that everything is there when it needs to be there, but it's your job to make us do what we're on that field to do. And I'm not going to stand in your way, and I'm not going to say, oh, well, that's just coach. I'm going to go, no, you need to listen to coach. You know, I listen to him, and you should listen to him.
It probably wouldn't do you no good to tell me that, no way.
No, it wouldn't, and I know that.
I'm hard-headed anyway, you know what I mean? And everybody knows that, but it really does. It just seems fitting that women, you know, own the majority of these teams. And you know, listen, having a guy there to maybe push you along, and, you know, a lot of men have, and I'm not no kind of pushing this in any kind of way, but, you know, a lot of men know more men in positions to maybe get sponsors. You know, I'd say there's more president of companies that are men than women. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, maybe, hey, I call my friend that knows this guy, blah, blah. You know, so from a business standpoint, sometimes it's better to have the guys there. But for me, you know, I've said it for years. You talking about fundraising and stuff. They don't need me going out here and trying to get money from a sponsor when you got women, and especially that, you know, smart women that know how to talk, and they sure look a lot better than me. So it just seems fitting that to me that, you know, and I was just thinking of this the other day, I've had all the, you're the last team I've had on. Well, Michigan, they didn't come on tonight. They're supposed to, but everybody else has come on and talked about their team, and I was just thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? Most of these teams are predominantly owned by women. And, you know, I see it as a good thing. And you know, and the fact that, you know, there's one thing I can say about Jimmy and about you and about anybody in general, that if you're going to be successful as an owner, you got to do just what you said you was going to do. And pretty much, I mean, Jimmy didn't, you know, that wasn't as good a, I don't know. I mean, you know, he just and all that said, here, go win a championship. You know, he left everything up to me and all that. And that's pretty much what needs to happen, you know. You just said, hey, you go do what you need to do, and I'm not going to get in your way. And that's what needs to happen, you know. And that's the owners need to own, and coaches need to coach, and players need to play. And, you know, we see it so much in the NFL. These coaches try to get, or the owners try to get too much involved in these coaches. And I get it. I mean, I do. It would be hard for me to own a team and find the right coach. I'm with you. You know, I sit and watch football every Saturday and Sunday. These guys making millions of dollars make the dumbest decisions I've ever seen. So I get it. But at the same point, if you're going to win, you're hiring those guys. You got to trust them, and you got to stay out of it. And I mean, I know I'm not making millions of dollars, but if you know, if you're going to trust me enough to say, hey, I want you to be this coach, then you got to trust me enough to hand me the reins to do whatever is necessary on the football field.
Yeah, and you know, and with me being a player also, it's one of those things that I, you know, I'm not just trusting you to, you know, and throwing players at you and saying, here's the players, you do it. I'm also getting out there and doing what you say. You know, I'm going out there and I'm working my butt off just the same. And that was one of those things, you know, I was very, very cautious about, you know, throwing it out there that I was owning the team and playing at the same time, because I don't want people to, you know, at any point think that I expect any special treatment. You won't give me special treatment, and I know that. But I don't want anyone else to ever think that I would get any special treatment because of that.
Well, that's one thing that me and Coach Mike have always did is everybody's the same here. We're not giving nobody no special treatment. You know, I do appreciate every single player that we've had over the years, and especially all these girls that are returning. You know, we couldn't have did it without them last year. Don't get me wrong whatsoever. You know, we're talking about it not looking good for a while, and then all of a sudden we start getting some good players and everything starts looking up, and a lot of those girls are going to return, and I'm glad they are, you know, because we couldn't have did it without them last year, and we're for sure going to need them this year. But, you know, as an owner, you know what, it's just like, you know, coaching Jim for all these years. When we started this team, you know, first of all, it was never my idea to own a team. Wasn't never my idea to own a league. Wasn't never my idea to coach this team. But when we kept hunting coaches, I wanted my brother to coach it, and he was way too busy and couldn't. And it's probably for the best, because he wouldn't have been able to put up with all the not showing up and excuses and stuff. But nevertheless, we just couldn't find anybody. I mean, we talked to a bunch of people wanted to do it. We're just, you know, not like, you know, settling or sold. And Jennifer's like, well, you don't want you coach it. I was like, yeah, you don't want me to coach this team. And she was like, yeah, you do. I said, no, we don't, because I don't play favorites. And you know, what happens on this team is on this team. What happens on this field is on this field. And when we leave there, it's nothing. You know, what I say goes. And you know, it usually don't work that way. And I don't know. I believe it was in 15 or 17 one. It was one of the odd years where we really had a good team. You know, Jennifer, she's a competitor, and I'm a competitor, and we practice, and she gets the jawing, and I send her to the damn sideline. You know, and everybody there was looking around and whispering, like, hey, this guy's crazy, man. You know, here, some of the girls, and it was, we just fairly new into practicing for that year, you know, and a lot of those girls were brand new and didn't really know me at all. And they're like, hey, this guy is crazy. Bottom line is, I aspire about it. And I, treat her just like every other player on the team. And that's what you have to do. You know, no matter who you are, you don't get special treatment. And if you're an owner, if you're a wife or a daughter of a coach, in my opinion, you got to be that much better.
You really do, and you're expected, you know, to bring yourself to a higher standard and to hold yourself to that higher standard. Whether it's in how you act, how you practice, you know, and when you mess up, you know, you take it harder and you get yelled at a little bit louder, because. You know, you should have done it different, or you should have known better. You know, you've done this before. We've gone over this before, and you know, we've all heard it. We've all seen it. We've all been through it. And there's times when you know I've sat there and I've heard it come right out of your mouth because we've been sitting there talking about it, and then we get on the field and I see someone else do it, and I'm like, we just talked about this, and I'm glad I didn't do it because you'd have been right on my butt too.
Are you saying I yelled at somebody? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. That would never come out of my mouth.
Oh, Lord, that's funny. Well,
I don't know that it's called yelling. I think it is constructive criticism without needing a loudspeaker.
Well, like I said earlier, when we started this show, you got to be mentally and physically tough to play football, and you really got to be mentally and physically tough to play for me. And
amen.
But you know what? The rewards are worth it, man. I'll tell you that.
They are, and I don't know that I'd want to play for anybody else.
Well, you might have to find out that in a little while. You never know. But we're about out of time. Hey, I appreciate you coming on, talking about the team. And I know as an owner and a player both, you're really excited about this Saturday and, you know, about the season getting kicked off. I just hope that both of us are not in a letdown from, you know, like I said, that really, really high that we're hoping to get 18, 20, whatever we're getting. And we show up, and we're gung-ho, and about half of them show up. So I hope we don't have to endure that.
Listen, I ain't above knocking on the doors.
I hear that. Well, I appreciate you coming on, taking the time, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you, Coach. We'll see you.
All right. You bet.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Pounder. New owner and player of the Tennessee Thunder. I'll tell you, you never owned a team or never owned a business or none of that. It's a tough gig, and if you're not willing to tackle it 100%, you sure don't need to be in it. I can tell you that. I hear all the time people talk about their businesses, not doing this or not doing that. All the people that I know that have businesses that work hard at them, have successful business. And, when we owned this team, we worked hard at it. We had a lot of success, and we never got it to the point where I wanted to. far as player-wise, but we had success on the field. And to me, that's what meant the most. And, you know, it's like with the league. We took over this league in 17, and it was like a month, maybe 5 weeks before the championship was supposed to be played. And the guy that's supposed to host it didn't know nothing about it. Here we are scrambling around trying to find something. We pull it off, and every year that we've owned this league, it's been good, and the championships have always been really nice and at a good place. And we made sure that even the very first year we took it over, we made sure there was an all-star game, which had never been in the league. And make it fun for the girls, give these girls a good place to play where they can be competitive, have that parity I talk about all the time. Football, league, coaching, playing, all that's a business. If you approach it like that, it's just in the end, it's a game that we love to play. So, I'm excited. I keep saying that I might say it every year I'm ready to retire, and I think I might be at the end of this year. But, you know, as far as right now, I'm really as excited for a season to start as I've been in a long time. And I guess for the simple reason that we do have some returners coming back and some new girls that I've seen more than just once with interest of playing. So, you know, that makes you get excited. And then, we're back playing in the league. I got it back. I should have never let it go, but going on, it was just tough. Got it back. We got a good place to play, good teams to play. We got good teams and good owners of these teams in the league. So, I'm really excited about that, and I'll just tell you, for probably since 2019, this is probably the happiest I've been about football getting ready to kick off. So, it's always fun. You know, like I said, I never dreamed that, you know, I would do it, never dreamed that I would enjoy it as much as I have, and you know, seeing not just a bunch of players over the years, but seeing Jennifer grow into the player she is. You know, I'll never forget the first time she went down there to try out, and I was gone. I was in Houston, Texas. She called me and said, "It's snowing. Do you think they're going to have it?" She drove all the way to Chattanooga. And I was thinking in my mind, I was out in Texas. I was thinking, yeah, that 225-mile drive one way in the snow, get down there and they're going to be cold in the snow and all that, that's going to deter. That'll knock this right in the head. And never forget, she called me as soon as it was over, and I said, "Well, what do you think about that?" And she said, "Oh, my God, I love it." And I was like, "Oh, my God," you know. And here we are, 8 or 9 years later, and we're talking about how excited I am the games we've won and the players that's come through here, played at other places and couldn't win, come here and win and win them a ring and championships. And, it's really been an amazing time. It's been as fun as can't imagine how much fun it's been over the years. You know, certain years more fun than others, but the challenge, and that's what drives me, I just say, is the challenge. And when somebody tells me, "Oh, you can't do this," oh, man, that really drives me, you know. And I've been one of them my whole life that, you know, I've always been a competitor, whether it be football, basketball. I played those two sports. So I left high school and did this football and then picked up team roping. And I've always been a competitor. And when somebody tells me I can't do something or I'm not good enough and somebody's laughing, it just makes me bear down that much harder. I don't run from it. You know, a lot of people run from it. And I guess that's why we've been successful, is because of the challenge of it. You know, and now the challenge is you won one, you want two. You win two, you want three. You win three, you want four. I mean, I don't know if that feeling will ever leave. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like a drug, because it's so hard to get to that point. you can't imagine if you've never won a championship in anything, whether it be in football or team roping or rodeo or basketball, whatever your sport is, football, man, if you've never won a championship, you don't know how hard of a challenge it is. I mean, we see these games in the NFL and college every week. If you watch those games this weekend, Ohio State, in my opinion, beat Georgia up and down the field one way or another, had a chance to win it at the end of the game. Matter of fact, Georgia's kicker missed two. Ohio State's kicker hadn't missed one. And he don't even come close to it. You know, it's so hard to win. I mean, that ball can bounce this way. We see it all the time. You've got to have things go your way. You've got to have a little luck. You've got to have some good players. You've got to be fortunate. There's so many things have to go right for you to win a championship at any level, at anything. I don't care what sport it is. And the challenge of it, man, that's me going as I, you know, when they say you can't do it, they just told the wrong person. Because there ain't nothing I can't do on this stage. You tell me I can't, and I will. You know, and that's, you know, just like this surgery and stuff that I've had. I'm about 3 months ahead of schedule from where I'm supposed to be. They told me this in the hospital. You're going to be here. You're going to be there. You'll never heal this fast. You know, I'm a type 2 diabetic, and, you know, my diabetes got high. My blood pressure got high during all this. And they're like, you won't heal as fast. You got all this. You got all that. You know, and then certain those doctors say, listen, here's how you're going. If you want to heal, here's what it's going to take. And they give me this strict diet, and you can ask Jennifer or anybody that's been around here. I mean, for 4 or 5 months, that's all I have did. I've not wandered off of it one bit. And, you know, I go to the doctor and I'm 3 months ahead of where I, they can't believe it. They're like, man, this is like a miracle. What'd you do? You know, and I'm like, I didn't do anything. Just did what y'all said I couldn't do. You know, and that's what I'm about is, you know, you tell me that I can't do it and I'm going to do it. And, you know, so the challenge of winning, the challenge of winning a championship, the challenge of having a good football league and all that stuff, I'm going to bear down to do it the best I can. And as long as I, you know, as long as that still fuels the fire, you know, I say every year I want to retire, and I might. You know, I just throw it out there. So if I do, nobody will be surprised. But, you know, as long as, you know, I want to be able to walk away and not have to come back. That's the thing. I think so many people, they walk away, but then they can't get away from it, you know, and then here you come back. And, you know, I don't want to ever put whoever owns this Thunder team in a position that, you know, when I decide to walk away, I for sure want to know that it's time for me to walk away from coaching, because I don't want to be that person, well, I'm going to quit today, and then, you know, I let them go through the process to find another coach. Then I decide I want to come back, and they're like, well, man, we done hired this guy. But, you know, maybe he ain't as good as you. You know, I don't want to do that. So I see players do it, you know, and it's tough mentally. So I want to go out, you know, I guess my way. And you know, if the end of this year, no matter what happens, if I don't get that fire burning from that fuel inside of me, then it'll be that time. You know, and a lot of it, you know, depends on these girls and how they act and how they participate. And, you know, they have a lot to do with it. You know, there's times that, you know, you just can't wait for it to be over because the attitudes are terrible. Or, you know, you don't have a very big team and your hands get cuffed and you just have to do this and that. You know, I will walk away from a situation like that. But as long as it's good, it's hard to walk away and be when you're successful. So, you know, when these people start doing that, they're starting to poke it. So we'll see. But, man, I appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. It's been a great show. I don't know what we'll get into next week. I'll try to get me a couple guests on and talk a little bit. We can talk, go a different direction maybe. But I do appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate JC Hawk Sports Network and giving me this opportunity. Still, it's unbelievable, you know, that I was sitting in there several years ago when she calls me if I want to do a show. Was the farthest thing from my mind. So, I can honestly say I appreciate it. And I look forward to it every single week. So I can't thank her enough. And I thank everybody for tuning in. Until next week, see you next week.